Welcome back, fight fans, and welcome to this week's episode of the Ultimate MMA Podcast. We are in for a long, long night ahead, as we've had a bit of a layoff these past few weeks. I'd like to apologise for our absence, that's been down to myself taking some time off to move house. But we are back, and hopefully we are back with a bang. I'm your host, Jake Jones. My co-host this week is a guy who needs no introduction. It's my partner in crime, the one and only Liam Heffernan. How have things been, mate?
Yeah, not too bad. It feels like forever since we've done this thing.
It really has been. I think it's because, as I said, a couple of weeks off there, and then before that it was Sean doing a few episodes, and we just had a bit of time to kind of get things together. What's also been nice is recently I've been sitting in on some of the Bellator MMA press conferences, so that's been good fun, been enjoying kind of speaking to the fighters there and seeing kind of what they have to offer. Big news from Bellator today as well. It seems that they have released a lot of European fighters. Terry Brazier, Chris Bungood, Ryan Scope, all amongst those. People who have basically gone on, who were big prospects for Bellator, but gone on maybe 2 to 3 fight losing streak, and Bellator have cut their ties with them. So that is a lot of interesting stuff going on in the MMA world at the moment. But to kick everything off, before we do our 3 fight of last weekend recap, we have to shine on a few things over the past few weeks. I mean, first and foremost, some fights over the last few weeks have been absolutely amazing. To kick it off, Marlon Moraes versus Corey Sandhagen. It produced a fine matchup where Corey just shone through the hills. What a prospect he is, and I hate to say it, but I've been saying this guy is the real deal for a long, long time now. I remember when Sandhagen and Cody Starman were fighting on the prelims for events, and I'd watch them and I'd get them confused, because I'd be like, you've got Corey Sandhagen, Cody Starman, but they're both these bantamweight guys who are looking amazing, who have really decent records, like 1 or 2 losses, and they're just dominating people. But they've both always looked so good, and they're both getting their chances. I'm glad that Corey's back at his best, and I can't believe that he disposed of Marlon Moraes for a spinning wheel kick. Who'd have thought it?
Yeah, what a way to end the fight. And I think, really, this was a dream outcome for UFC, right? They clearly put this match together because, you know, Moraes is a hell of a cap in the feather of someone like Sandhagen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's by no means past his best, but at the end of the day, he's been at the top. Probably, you got to say, coming down the other side of that peak now. Sandhagen is a guy that they obviously see a big future for. That they gave him this fight, it was a chance for him to set himself up as a contender, as someone who is going to start to take that division by storm and be at the top of that division, and he's done that.
Absolutely, and it's interesting to say that Marlon Moraes is kind of coming down on that slope, because it's so weird. A few years ago, Marlon Moraes was that scary guy who, he KO'd Aljamain Sterling and then knocked out Jimmy Rivera, both with these head kicks and amazing knockouts. Yep. So he's taken out the best people, but then he went to lose against, was it Cejudo? And, he won against Aldo, but obviously many people believe Aldo won that. And now he's lost to Sandhagen, so it's, as you said, it is really like a downhill slope. Went from being this guy who's taken everyone out to this guy who can't seem to take out the right people. As I said, I'm just glad that Corey Sandhagen is back and looking very, very good. But before we move on to recapping our last weekend's event, we have to talk about something big. We all know it, something that shocked the world. Joaquin Buckley's spinning kick KO to Imper Kasanganai on the prelims of the Moraes Sandhagen card. Holy shit. What did you think?
Unbelievable. Like, I thought, I put a couple of pounds on Kasanganai winning that fight. I thought it seemed like a pretty safe bet. You know, he come off a really impressive win only a couple of months back. And then just out of nowhere, like, what is that about? I just see it, like, it is just a textbook example of the fact that you cannot let your guard down for even a split second, because that kind of shit happens.
Exactly. And, I mean, one big thing, as you said, Kasanganai looked awesome in his fight against, who is it, Coconut Bombs? That's all I'm going to call him, because I can't... Macky Patolo. As I said, he looked brilliant against him, and his striking looked top. Now, Buckley, I think, lost in his debut against Kevin Holland. And Kevin Holland's got this kind of karate style. He's very, very hard to hit. But you could always see in that fight that Buckley has this almost Tyson-esque heavy punches, and then kind of follows up on his combinations, and he swings big. So it was never a shock that Buckley was going to knock him out to me. I did think Kasanganai would win it, because I thought he was the bigger, taller guy and could use his distance. But my God, I did not see that happening. I have friends who know nothing about MMA or the UFC, and they were all messaging me like, oh, did you see this happen? Of course I bloody saw this happen. When it happened, I was watching it live and I was in genuine shock. I had to take a second to indulge what just happened. He landed a perfect two-touch spinning kick. And that's two-touch if you count the fact that Impa had his leg held. But yeah, it's a perfect spinning kick that literally froze Kasanganai and sent him into no man's land. It landed so clean. It was pitch perfect to watch. And as I said, you just saw almost his eyes roll back into his head and he just collapsed. And I love Kasanganai. I never wanted to see him lose, but if your O was going to go, I'd rather it go in fashion. No one would have taken that. No one would have been able to stand after that.
I mean, it wasn't a soft knockout, was it? And you know, it's also worth acknowledging the fact that everyone's going to remember the fight for the knockout, of course. It's one of the greatest knockouts of all time.
Mm-hmm.
But Buckley was winning that fight, and had he not got the knockout, he was getting the points.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Buckley was doing very well. He was landing heavy shots throughout the fight. He looked brilliant, and I think people kind of counted him out because of the Kevin Holland fight. I think people thought, oh, yeah, he's just a big guy, but doesn't know what to do with it. A bit like Alonzo Menifield can kind of come across sometimes. Yeah. However, Buckley, to me, looked powerful throughout the fight. He looked great. And the one thing I am slightly disappointed in and not liking is the criticism from the so-called experts of MMA saying that our fans really surprised at this, that the defense was shoddy. Can you not just appreciate a KO like that happens once in every in a bloody blue moon? Yeah. And if people want to send that viral, then we don't need a negative opinion taking that down.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to appreciate it for what it was. As you said, you can't lay guard down at any point, but that was a truly spectacular knockout. But that is my rant over with that. It's time to get back into the swing of things. Later on in the show, we're going to be looking ahead to this weekend's blockbuster event, UFC 254, Khabib versus Gaethje, an event that I cannot wait to break down and watch. However, before that, we need to talk about what happened on last weekend's MMA calendar. We're going to take the top three fights from last weekend's main event, and that is for two reasons. Firstly, they literally are the top three in chronological order from the third fight from the main, the co-main, and then the main event. Secondly, they were literally the top three fights on the card, in my opinion. Firstly, we have a scary shocker of a knockout when the Australian brute Jimmy Crute took out the former Cage Warriors light heavyweight champion Modestus Bukauskas in powerful fashion. I mean, you've just seen the knockout. What did you think?
I mean, it was terrifying, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Just imagine that coming at you. Mm-hmm. The guy, like, had no chance.
No, once he was down, he was down and out. I mean, this fight was over before it began, really, and it's not to discredit Moddy B, but Crute looked powerful from the start, and it was only a matter of time before that KO punch was landed. I noticed that Bukauskas was susceptible to that punch from the start of the fight, and even in his UFC debut against Andreas Michaladis. In that fight, despite winning it, Modestus looked a little bit wary in his striking defence. He had his guard down a lot, and I remember thinking a few times that he was caught with a punch that could have switched his lights out. He does hold his head quite high, and as I said, against a guy like Crute, you cannot do that. Now, the same happened against Crute. Modestus kept having his hand low and kept pushing Crute away with a front kick that was never really doing the job. After two or three goes at it, Crute managed to land that sharp overhand right that just flopped Modestus. And although he tried to recover, Jimmy Crute swarmed him and knocked him all over the park. One thing I don't know if you actually saw it live, but Dan Hardy put in the weirdest way I've seen. He said he dropped him like a newborn giraffe. I mean, Dan, if you have a way with words, my friend, but as I said, it was quite shocking. As he tried his hardest to get up, but when you have a guy like that, you can't do anything about it. Yeah. It was seriously impressive from Crute, and I think he puts himself in a great position now to look at a top 15 shot next. As for Moddy B, he's addressed the fight, congratulating Crute and saying that he allowed this loss allowed him to address some key flaws in this game, and I truly think he's going to come back stronger. I think it's nice and refreshing to see a fighter go, damn, yeah, I had holes in my game, actually. I now need to change them. He's put quite a few tweets out now saying, I'm working on what I need to do. And he's actually called for a fight with the 6-1 Aleska Kamer, who was a guy from the Dana White's Choose Out Contender Series. He lost recently to William Knight in about 2 weeks ago. So I think that's a brilliant fight for both these guys. They're both coming off a loss, but they're both clearly prospects. And as I said, coming off a loss against Jimmy Crute, well, that guy's going to be top 15. Nothing to be ashamed about.
Yeah.
Well, now we move on to our co-main event of the evening. And what a contender we have in the women's flyweight division. Jessica Andrade taking out Caitlin Shu Kagan. what a performance this was. I have to say it, I genuinely thought Shukagin was going to best Andrade. Not dominantly, but I thought she was going to, her striking was just going to be too good. She was going to be able to keep her range, and Andrade wouldn't have been able to handle it, because we know she likes to fight on the inside. She likes to swing heavy. Against someone like Shukagin with them side kicks, I thought Shukagin was just going to keep knocking her up. However, how wrong was I here? It was phenomenal to see. It's always been known that Andrade is strong and has great hands, but they looked amazing last weekend, and she was literally able to make Shukagin quit through sheer pain. She landed this body shot where, I said it was more, Andrade was almost up against the cage, but landed body shot. Shukagin went to walk away from her, span and held her side, and just shouted out in pain, which obviously Andrade kind of then stood there, not realising what's going on, and then swarmed in on her, just ran straight in, because I think she kind of realised, oh, she's not faking that, she's hurt. And I said, throughout the fight, she was landing beautiful body combinations, kept working to Caitlin's abdomen, which just forced her to visibly quit. And then, as I said, Andrade just went in there and just closed the show. I mean, she swings so well, and you can see why her body shots have the peach of a punch element to them, because she digs them in so, so well. And it's made her able to fight basically the perfect fight against pretty much the number one fighter in that division. So I think she definitely offers a challenge for the title, and I think it'd be a fantastic fight for Shevchenko. That fresh blood that she needs to spice up the division. I think slight errors arise when you look at it. She's only won in her last three. So Andrade, I think, lost to Nama Yunas and Zhang last, and then she's obviously got a win over Shukagin. However, she's taken Shukagin out. She's sitting in the prime position. I think she either gets a title shot next, or we see what happens with Lauren Murphy this weekend, as you then have Calvillo ranked 4th, Murphy 5th, Maya 3rd, and they're all coming off wins. That might make for a lovely eliminator for the title. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's easy to write Andrade off after the last couple of wins, the last couple of losses, I mean. But I think just look at the calibre of those two fights. So losing the title to Weili Zhang in the way that she did, you can't knock her for that. No. It was an incredible performance from Zhang. And then the fight against Rose was just an absolute slogfest. And if anything, that just showed up how good Rose is.
Yeah.
Andrade is still at the top of her game, and the performance against last weekend just proved that. She's still a contender. She's still up there. And that division is a tough one. This is why I say Shevchenko is going to be the first of the three women's champions to lose her belt.
Well, now that you say it, I am, but I'm a bit more scared for Shevchenko. As I said, I thought Calvillo offered an interesting match, but I think Shevchenko wins it by decision. I mean, I thought Shukagin's already, obviously she's been beaten, so I was thinking, yeah, I still think Shevchenko's solid. Against someone like Andrade, though, I still think Shevchenko probably wins it. However, Andrade has that raw power, that scary power for someone her size that can put someone out. So I definitely think that we could see that fight happen in the future. And if I'm honest, Andrade Shevchenko screams the best to me. That makes me go, oh shit, that's either a main event there or a co-main on the pay-per-view card. And that's a fight that I will, without a doubt, tune in for.
Let's
move on to our main event of the evening then. He's back after 679 days inactive. Brian T. City Ortega returned to defeat the Korean Zombie Chan Sung-jun in a dominant unanimous decision display. I mean, coming into this fight, I think most fans feared and were concerned that Ortega would have ring rust and not be able to shake off such a long layoff. He had such a beatdown from Holloway and then returned to face a scary guy like the Korean Zombie. So Chan Sung-jun made his name with his expert striking and general volume that he puts out, and these fights where he just takes so much damage but gives out too. Now, we know that's how Holloway beat Ortega, literally by just sheer domination, just sheer volume and just piecing him up through the fight. So I think we were all left wondering, could the Korean Zombie do that and replicate the same thing? But Ortega proved why he's the former number one challenger and now steps into title contention, because he just looked absolutely awesome. His striking looked clean, his defense looked great, and all around he just looked so, so, so comfortable in there. There's a cracking video of Ortega training with Crouch just beforehand, throwing the spinning elbow that we saw him catch the Korean Zombie with and drop him. Now, the biggest thing to talk about here is what is next for these two guys. I mean, for me, give me Holloway versus the Korean Zombie. Holloway needs a fight. I think they're the only two guys in the top five that aren't matched up, because you've got Rodriguez versus Zabit. So that makes for a good fight there. And then, as I said, Holloway, the Korean Zombie. Holloway's second loss now. Korean Zombie's coming off a loss. That makes a lot of sense. And that might determine who gets the next title shot. And then it can only be Ortega versus Holloway for them, versus Volkanovski, sorry, for the title. I mean, I love that fight. I think it offers a real test for both guys. It rejuvenates the 145-pound division. If that fight is to be made, I think in a year or so time, when Australia allows for live sporting events to happen, that would sell out the Marvel Arena. Add Adesanya in there, and then we have a cracking night of Australian UFC going.
I mean, just add on top of that, what if Adesanya defends against Whittaker, and then you've got Volkanovski Ortega as well?
Oh, keep talking to me. Keep it going. I mean, you've said it perfectly there. That is two genuinely top-level fights, which, and if you think about it, by the time that we've got Whittaker this weekend, say he does beat Cannonier this weekend, then, as I said, that's what we're in. We're coming into November, pretty much, so you've got maybe 3-4 months there. They're usually a February event for either New Zealand or Australia. Wow, that genuinely could happen. That might be one of the first big events coming back where, as I said, they will likely have fans available there. And as I said, that will just sell out. They've also got some amazing guys like Dan Hooker probably available. He could be, as I said, the third fight. You've got Brad Riddell in there as well, another amazing looking fighter. Kai Kara France. These guys look brilliant, and as I said, there's no doubt for me that they could get a solid card filled with these New Zealand Australian fighters, bring over the Americans, and as I said, make for probably one of the events of the year.
Yeah, I agree.
So now we move on to our preview of this weekend's card, and we have UFC 254. It is finally here. The undefeated UFC lightweight champion Khabib Nurmagomedov versus the current interim UFC lightweight champion Justin Gaethje. I mean, mate, how great is this going to be?
I mean, I feel like Gaethje is the kind of fighter that people don't really credit as much as they should, and I'm one of them. Like, he's just one of those guys. He's too nice, I think, to be taken seriously often. But how he handled Ferguson just proved why he's up there at the top of this division. And I think, you know, you can say the smart money is on Khabib to keep his title. But at some point, you know, if he keeps fighting, at some point, he's going to lose.
Absolutely.
And Gaethje could do it.
Absolutely, and funnily enough, Gaethje said a similar thing, is that Gaethje used to go into fights just wanting to ride or die, and he actually said that he needs to fight smarter. He said from the beginning of his career when he joined the UFC, I think it's in the press conference with Michael Johnson, he said that if he continues fighting the way he fights, one day he's going to get knocked out, and in the end he did, so that's why he changed his game plan, because then he took two losses in a row, and then, as I said, has now changed it and is still looking amazing. Four-fight win streak, it's ridiculous. Before we crack into that, though, let's not get too excited. We need to talk about another fight on the card. Our co-main event of the evening that will eventually lead to a title fight. Surely it's got to be the next title challenger. Robert Whittaker versus Jared Cannonier. What do you think about this?
Yeah, I mean, obviously this is number one contender fight. It has to be. You know, you've got the ranks one and two competing. This would be a main event on anything other than a pay-per-view. This is potential fight of the night all over it. And I maintain it probably could be more entertaining than the Khabib fight, because title fights can sometimes get a little bit slow and a little bit evasive.
I totally agree with you.
And no. I think Whittaker is a good fighter. You know, he's older. Yeah, you can say that maybe he's past his best, but he's got a lot of fight in him. And it was only end of last year that he was defending that was it an interim title we had that he defended against Adesanya?
Yes.
Like, he's by no means down and out.
Not defended against Adesanya. He lost it against Adesanya, but I know what you mean. Yeah, he was still the champion pretty much last year. I think he's only lost to Adesanya, and then he's won since then. He beat Till.
So, yeah, and that win over Till was pretty comprehensive as well.
Oh, like, mate, it's brilliant, yeah.
Till's a great fighter, but Whittaker really did kind of give him a bit of a lesson.
Yeah. I mean, it's an absolute cracker of a co-main event, and it is going to determine the next challenger. Izzy has openly said that he would love to face Jared as his next challenger, and you can see why. The raw power that Jared has, the style of fight that he brings, and the fact that Izzy decimated Whittaker not just two fights back. However, I believe Whittaker is absolutely back to his best, and he showed that in his fight against Darren Till. Yep. Whittaker stood one of the world's best strikers, and he was able to prevail as the victor. I always say this, I think the UFC do Whittaker dirty. I think he is genuinely one of the... He's like a Holloway, one of the legends of the division, legends of the UFC, and he will go down in the Hall of Fame. But Whittaker has been able to prove that he is the at the top of the middleweight pedestal for a long time, and he's got that proven skill set and ability to stand there with the very, very best. I like Cannonier. I think he's powerful and a worthy contender at £185. However, I think the fight plays into the hands of Bobby Knuckles. I think he has the technical ability to beat Cannonier in every department. Don't get me wrong, I think Cannonier's key to victory is literally utilising his strength. Mm. He's a former heavyweight fighter, a former light heavyweight fighter. He has that natural scary power that can KO someone clean or just overbear them. He really lives up to his name, the Killer Gorilla. Having said this, we all thought Till would be too powerful for Whittaker, and he was able to show why he's called the Reaper. He literally came back from heavy loss to a very challenging back-and-forth victory where he literally stood and struck one of the strongest and best strikers at £185. Mm. My prediction for the fight? Whittaker by unanimous decision. What about yourself?
I agree. I don't think Whittaker's going to get a finish. I think, you know, Jared is... He's obviously a good fighter. He's ranked number two, but I mean, like... I don't think he's gonna be finished. I think it's gonna be a really good fight from start to finish, and I think Whittaker's gonna get the decision. I think it could be split. I think it's gonna be close.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's gonna be close. I think Cannonier's gonna have a good first round. I think Whittaker will build into the fight. We're gonna have to see.
Yeah.
But it's time for the main event of the evening. The 28-0 undefeated UFC lightweight champion Khabib the Eagle Nurmagomedov versus the 22-2 current interim UFC lightweight champ, Justin the Highlight Gaethje. This is going to be absolutely insane.
Yeah.
Just to pre-note before we talk about this whole fight, one thing I just want to note is the Khabib Nurmagomedov's late father, Abdulmanap. This is the only time that I kind of want us to speak about it. Just regard this matter as it's evidently something that's been getting to Khabib for the past few months. He's been constantly asked by journalists about the situation, if it's affecting him. And overall, I think it just needs to be left at his father, who's one of the greatest trainers of all time and a real loss to the world of MMA. We can talk about Khabib and Justin. They offer an incredible set of skills that I think gives us everything to talk about. Yes, that is going to be resting on his mind. But as I said, overall... I think it's a shame that so many people, that's the only question they can ask him. Khabib is phenomenal. His head is going to be in a bad place. But as I said, I think that we get that out there early on and more out of respect that what a great man.
Yeah. And also a bit of a disservice to Khabib. You know, he's had 28 fights. He's not going to have been in 100% the best state of mind for all of those fights. And he's fought through it. So... You know, let's leave those personal issues at the door and just look at the fights.
Exactly. I totally agree. I mean, let's break down both these guys. As I said, they give us so much to talk about. Mm. The current champ, the man who has never tasted defeat, Khabib Nurmagomedov, at 28 wins, no defeats. That is a scary record. For me, he is just so dominant. And in the grappling department, he literally never lost a round in his career. There are three key aspects to his games that I really want to shine upon. There's three things that I always notice from Khabib and that I just think is scary. Firstly, the classic Dagestani handcuff. It's a technique that a lot of these Dagestani fighters use, and they bring you down, they wrap their arm around you on your outside. With that, they grab your wrists and pressure you against the cage. So effectively, they have you up against the cage, knees down, grabbing the side you'd usually explode out from, and then they're leaning all their weight into that area. Effectively, Khabib is holding down the hand you want to use to get up and then has his body underneath your armpit, so it's blocking your other arm, which makes it incredibly tricky to get out of and means that you're defending their other hand with one hand, maybe even literally just trying to dodge it. It makes it so hard to get out of, and as I said, it makes it so hard even to just keep your guard up. That's why he is so, so good at mourning people.
I mean, yeah, we can talk about Khabib's wrestling all day, and I think when it comes down to it, if you're in Justin's training camp, there's one thing and one thing only that you're doing, and that is takedown defense. Because as soon, like, Khabib basically has this incredible ability, unlike any other fighter I've seen, to just decide to take you down, and then he does it.
Yeah.
Bam, you're on the floor.
Yeah.
And Dustin put up a lot of challenges to that. Like, he fought well for two rounds there, and Khabib was struggling more than he usually is. I think Justin's game plan needs to try and be to stop those takedowns, as I guess everyone's game plan is against Khabib, right?
Well,
and just try and get the knockout.
Well, it's interesting you say as well, because there's been a lot of talk about Justin's wrestling ability, because a lot of people have criticised him in the past, saying that he's an all-American wrestler, he's a champion wrestler, but he never shows it in his fights. Well, why show it when you've got, what, 18 knockouts out of 22 fights?
Exactly.
You're a scary man. But what he has said, very interestingly, and I like this as well, is that he said that he doesn't mind Khabib taking him down, but if it happens, it needs to be in the centre of the octagon. He said he cannot let Khabib get him up against the cage, because if he does, he is screwed. Yeah. That is his own words, and as I said, I like that he's kind of admitting to that. As I said, there's three things I kind of pick from Khabib's fights, and the main one there was Dagestani handcuff. The second one is how scarily he is when he can take you down. He wraps your legs up, so the leg locks that he does. Mm. Watch Khabib against 90% of these guys. He gets them to the ground, virtually always using the cage, and then as he proceeds to advance the position, he hooks both your legs underneath him and flattens you out. Honestly, it's such a smooth transition and just looks such a pain in the ass to counter. Watch his fights with Connor. He's constantly getting him down and then wrapping his legs up, which is impressive that he about managed to get pretty much every one of his opponent's legs straight each time.
Yeah.
Watch Connor. As I said, Connor's almost sat on his ass, legs straight out, and Khabib's just wrapped both of them up, caught them between his legs, and Connor has no room to move. He gives him pretty much little to no space for any leverage to try and wiggle out with things. He just squeezes them tight, and there's no movement for either fighter. He keeps his head squeezed into their chest and just constantly throws little strikes that are there to keep him busy and wear you down over time. They aren't looking for a haymaker finish, but his leg wrap has proven effective against pretty much everyone that is faced, and it means that, as I said, they have no response to basically being down. They've got, as I said, they've got an arm wrapped up with a handcuff, they've got their legs done. They literally, all they can do is just take punches. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, finally, having said all of this, is his final key. So, key number one, the Dagestani handcuff. Key number two is the leg lock. Finally, you have his pressure and his ability to use the cage. You watch once more every fight that he's in, and Khabib gets his opponent against the cage. Even in his fight against Ally Quinta, Connor, and I think it was Daniel Horcher earlier on in his career, you see Khabib go for the high single leg against him. So he basically dives straight in for their ankle, manages to catch it, and then just lifts it up in the air. But even every time he went for that, instead of taking them down in the centre of the octagon, regardless if it's successful, he attempts to trip them or progress the takedown up against the cage. He's always pushing people up against the cage because he loves using that. It's almost a beast-like strength that he has to pin his opponent up against the cage, and it just doesn't allow them to do anything. Alongside this, as I said, his head positioning is so good that you don't really see him get caught in guillotines. You never really see him get elbowed. Mm. It's just the side of the game that he knows, unlike anyone else. And at this current stage, in my opinion, there's no doubt he's one of the GOATs of MMA. And as I said, the ability that he has, even just the style that he has, it seems clear what he's doing. How do you stop it?
Yeah, I think that's a million-pound question, right? Like, how do you stop it? No one has so far. I agree. I think he's the GOAT in terms of lightweight MMA fighters. He's the one. I don't know if we have the answers. This guy is just an absolute phenom, right?
Well, let me chuck something out there. Now, I am no MMA coach, so I'm not gonna say this is gonna be easy to do, but the final point that I made regarding the cage is possibly, though, what I think there's an opening in his game plan. The countless times I've watched Khabib fight with my partner or my friends, and I can call when he's going to shoot for that takedown. But, as I said, I can't call how you stop it, but I can say I've literally said it before with my girlfriend watching. It was when he fought Poirier. I said, he's taking him down now. Takes him down. And I'll be
Yeah.
like, yep. And I think people are just so scared of his wrestling that they immediately prepare to back off. And he constantly peppers this jab out there and manages to back you up against the cage. Then he closes the distance, shoots his shot, and 9 out of 10 times has you pinned. It's in that moment, though, when he shoots, that I think someone could catch him. I'd love to see Gaethje throw an uppercut in that time, or even a knee. I
Yeah.
think that Khabib does dart in, and I think with perfect timing, someone could flash him. I'm not saying it's going to KO him clean, but I think it could change the position or definitely rock him. I said it earlier that I think Khabib keeps his head tucked in well. However, I know against Poirier, they noticed that when Khabib dives in, they could probably get a guillotine in there. And there was a moment where he was caught in quite a worrying guillotine. However, he was able to stay calm, get out of that. And I don't see Justin threatening with his submission skills, but I do think that he could land that highlight reel finish. He's known as the highlight. He's got one submission finish throughout his 24 fight professional career. That came in his fifth fight. Besides that, he has 19 KOs and two decisions. This man is built for the finish, and he's done it in some spectacular ways. As I
Yeah.
said, I think that he could land something when Khabib comes in, but even with his game plan saying that he can't be caught up against the cage, we might not see him try that anyway. Now, I know I should remain impartial, but I have to say it. Gaethje is up there with one of my favourite fighters of all time. Every single UFC fight this man has been in has been a fight of the night. Listen to this stat. He's had 7 fights in the UFC and received 9 bonuses. Like, how do you do that? That's incredible.
That's amazing.
He is the highlight for a reason. He puts on a show every time. He goes in there to be stopped, to stop, sorry, or be stopped. And that he does just that. Literally all of his UFC wins and even his losses are entertaining.
Yeah.
He hurts his opponents in every fight that he has, and 90% of the time it results in him KOing the opposition. I mean, what have you thought of Gaethje's career so far in the UFC?
Yeah, I mean, as you've hit the nail on the head, really, he's an entertaining fighter to watch. You know, you're going to get a bit of a show. You know, you're going to get a good fight. You know, you're going to get a performance of the night. And I think, really, as you pointed out earlier as well, I think this is potentially how he can maybe get the best of Khabib, because, you know, he needs to. There's this maybe instinctive way of dealing with wrestlers and takedown artists like Khabib. In that you kind of try and back off, keep your distance, and throw the punches. But if Gaethje can keep it in the middle of the octagon, stand his ground, and with the confidence that he has of knowing he can get a knockout, and really train to get that timing just right, I think you're absolutely right. I think if he can just react at just the right time and land that knee or that uppercut just when Khabib's going for the takedown. I think we could have something that a lot of people are going to be talking about for a while.
Absolutely. I mean, one other aspect to Gaethje's game plan that I don't really see, obviously we can talk about it, but I don't necessarily see shining through in this, is his leg kicks. Gaethje is known for these ridiculous leg kicks that just destroy people, mangle their legs throughout the fight. I don't see him throwing that many against Khabib. He might try to, but I also see that as a moment for Khabib to try and reach for the leg and then, as I
Yeah.
said, get him taken down. So potentially Gaethje's wary of that, but I was saying about Gaethje's fights in the UFC and them all being entertaining. Literally, he hurt Alvarez and Poirier despite losing them fights. He hurt them bad throughout it. He survived a barrage from Michael Johnson and came back to make him quit. I mean, you literally see him go chicken legs and then somehow he survives that and then comes back to absolutely just, as I said, how embarrassing to make a man quit, really. He literally has him up against the cage and he's just teeing off. And Johnson just drops. It's not like in a shot in the head or anything. It's just to the body. Johnson just drops to his knees. The ref calls it off, and Johnson's just sat there, just puts his hands up, and just kind of goes, "Phew, what do I do
Yeah.
about that?" And then, as I said, he goes on a 4-fight winning streak where he's KO'd guys like James Vick, Edson Barbosa, and Donald Cerrone. Then to top this streak off, he defeats a man who's everyone's eyes were on, a man who was on a 12-fight winning streak, a man who had just lost once in his last 19 fights. He literally dominated El Kakui, Tony Ferguson, the Boogeyman, the
Yeah.
entire fight, and then took the UFC interim championship home. As I said, I love this guy. I think he's dangerous, offers great fights 24/7. And another thing I loved, BT Sport actually posted it earlier, so if you haven't seen it, go check it out. Anyone listening, go check it out as well. But you should check out the relationship he has with his coach Trevor Whitman in the Ferguson fight. I think most of us will have seen these highlights, but there's some amazing, the one they posted earlier is a three key highlight thing where you've got Whitman's advice on what to do in the next round. So this was, I think, after the first round, Whitman saying to him, right, focus, what you need to do is throw it sharper, etc., and just showing him how to do a bit, and obviously Gaethje's going along with it. So that's the first thing you want to see, is a coach giving solid advice. Then the next one is an amazing criticism. Trevor Whitman's evidently annoyed with Gaethje, and I can't remember what Gaethje says to him. It's something like, not doing enough or something like that. And Whitman goes, no, take 10% off your shot. You're not trying to kill the man. Something like that. So then Gaethje's like, oh, okay, yeah, right, okay. So yeah. Literally, yeah, as I said, Whitman's kind of saying to him, stop going in there, stop rushing this, take your time, take some power off this. And then I said, focus throughout the fight. Once more, it's lovely to see a coach almost criticise their fighter throughout the fight. It's not being a mate with him. It's saying, start respecting this fight a little bit more. Yeah. And the last one is literally, I mean, this is my favourite one from it. You have the focus moment. You got Gaethje sitting there, and he's going into the fifth round. He's well excited. And he's all chilled, and he says something like, "Oh, this is going great." And then Whitman says, "Hey, look at me." And he says, focus. He said, that's the last time you get too comfortable. And then Gaethje instantly sats out and he goes, yes, sir, yes, sir. And he goes, what happened last time you got too comfortable? Yeah, I was finished twice. Yep. And he says, snap on, focus. And it's just, what a moment. I said, it's almost that respect of, yes, sir, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Kind of takes it in. And this is what I mean from Whitman there. I mean, he's considered one of, if not the best coach in MMA at the moment. And you can see why. Throughout that, he's given solid advice in terms of technical striking. He's given actual criticism in terms of actually what Gaethje's doing in the fight. And then he's keeping him focused as well and saying, hey, don't get too excited here. You can get knocked out straight away. Because too many coaches almost say, like, how many times have we heard it where a coach has gone, you're this is two rounds to us now. And it's clearly not. They're just trying to motivate them. Whereas I said, that's actually quite nice to see someone go, you might be winning, but if you go out like confident, you're going to get knocked out. Yeah. It humbles them. And as I said, it was so nice to see Gaethje's respect by admitting, yes, the last two times he got stopped and saying, yes, sir, etc. It's that respect. It's always military level. Yeah. It's lovely to see. So
absolutely. And I just think if we have any lesson to learn from the Gaethje-Ferguson fight, it's just not to overlook Gaethje, because all eyes were on Ferguson in that fight. Everyone Absolutely. Was talking about just how tough he was, how mean he was, how he's just going to knock everyone out. People were even just saying Gaethje was just a stepping stone because eventually they'll do the Khabib fight because, you know, he's just going to walk all over this. And what happens? He come out of nowhere, because at the end of the day, he's a great fighter at the top of his game. And people are doing the same thing in this fight. They're saying Khabib is 28-0. He's going to win. Of course he is. It's Khabib. Don't rule Justin out.
No, absolutely. Well, go on. Give us your prediction then.
It's tough because if you ask me what I want to happen, it would be some huge Gaethje knockout in the second or third round. But I do think Khabib is going to win.
Mate, you put it pretty much the exact way I put it. For me, I think Khabib remains undefeated. I wouldn't mind seeing this after the year he's had. And overall, I think Khabib can go 30-0 to end his career. I think there's everything about Khabib that is just brilliant. However, I would also love to see Gaethje become the unified champ for personal reasons. As I said, I love him. I think he's a brilliant guy, a brilliant fighter. And I think if anyone can starch Khabib, Gaethje has the ability to do it. So my head says Khabib, my heart says Gaethje. To make a final decision, though, I'm going to go with my head. Khabib can dominate the fight, and I hope to see his career go 13-0 before he retires. That would make an amazing story for me, and as I said, that would make him the GOAT of MMA. So, for now, that is all we have time for. Thank you very much for tuning into the Ultimate MMA Podcast. Make sure to like, share, and subscribe to us, and be sure to tune in next week, where we'll recap the results of this weekend's card and preview the next card, which takes place on Saturday the 31st of October, as the legend Anderson the Spider Silva returns to face the veteran Uriah Hall. Who bloody saw this fight coming? I mean, it's a little out of the blue, but what these guys, at one stage in their game, were the best strikers, and their kicking ability is terrifying. So we might see a great display of Muay Thai and just general striking ability there. We'll have to see how that goes down. But I have been your host, Jake Jones, and I want to say a massive thank you to my co-host, Liam, this week for being around and making it yet again another fab show. It's been great to be back. Be sure to let us know any feedback you have for the podcast and let us know which guests you'd like me, Sean, and Liam to speak to over the next few weeks. Thank you, guys, and take care.